Hey, well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am excited to be with you all to talk about this exciting topic, dealing with kids. A little scary.
Very scary.
So what we're going to be doing is focusing in on two areas. Millennials, which are generally categorized as anybody born in the year 1980 all the way through 1996. So a nice little gap like that. And of course, I was born in 1984, and I feel like I have absolutely nothing in common with those born in 1994. But still, generally, those millennials are all lumped together. There will be some trends that are similar, and obviously some that don't hold true for everybody. Then our Gen Z has generally been identified as those born in 1997 up until about 2012. So when we're referring to either a millennial or a Gen Z, that's kind of our audience and who we're talking about. Now, I think I could spend 8 hours sharing with you trends, how we can communicate, how we can evangelize to each of these individually. I've got 15 minutes. And I've also don't have the best PowerPoints right now. I missed all the deadlines, and this was done this morning at 8:45 while feeding my twins. So I just wanted to make sure you have notes, I have notes, and as we can continue to learn more about how our communication begins. So looking at some of the trends, now one thing I also want to start off with, if you do a simple Google search about trends for millennials, you might get a million hits. There are so many different trends to follow, and so what I did was I found some trends that we needed to know entering 2023. I figured being we're only 6 weeks into the new year, this was a good resource to use. I took the top seven and I kind of narrowed it down into three things that I want you to know about each, millennials and Gen Z. And so our first thing, as you can see with our trends, is that they are educated. In fact, they're probably more educated than any other generation before them. They're just not as wealthy. They're just not as wealthy. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But part of one of the things that comes with not being wealthy is you have choices on how you spend your money. And this generation, I read it was kind of funny, they do a really good job of balancing their alcohol consumption and their exercise. One out of every four millennials drinks once a week. Three out of every four millennials exercises once a week. Now, I put on the thing of how we can communicate. One of the things we love to do is theology on tap in this diocese. We have about five or six locations that offer theology on tap to our young people or to our millennials, which is great, but if only one in four are drinking once a week, we're missing that audience that's maybe exercising three-fourths out of the time. Yeah, how are we doing with our CrossFit audience? Or is our workout, is our energy mostly for those who are in their retirement years? Is there something we could be doing for our younger populations to help them feel welcome, feel part of a community that ties in with three quarters? Now, I'm not in those three quarters, but you know, three quarters of millennials are working out once a week. How do we tie that in? How do we communicate? How do we use that to our advantage? They're not buying homes. They've got a lot of student debt. And the reason they're not buying homes is not because they're cool and trendy, it's because they don't got the money. They don't have the money. And so when they look at it, especially what we saw in this last year, the homes just going absolutely through the roof, millennials are sitting there going, I made the right decision. I don't want to do that. Or now I can't do it at all. So they're instead finding ways to spend their money in other opportunities. And one of the things that, you know, we do want to be mindful of is since they're not as wealthy, how do we invite them to things without cost always being the main, you know, objective? Oh, you want to come to this speaker? Great, $25. You want to come to this event? It's going to be $45. You want to go to a retreat? Great, it's going to be $100. How do we find ways to continue to communicate to young adults, to these millennials, you're welcome, you belong here, and we're not going to let money be a deterrent? Yet, at the same time, because they're not spending on $500,000 homes, they are going to still find other ways to spend their money if they invest in it, if they believe in it. They want to put their money where they feel like they're going to actually be receiving benefit. Do we communicate with that, or do we sometimes say, just trust us, it'll be worth your time? They're not coming to that. They're not coming to that. They have a lack of commitment. They're not getting married. They're not having kids. I didn't get that memo. And they're starting to reassess their priorities, which means, you know, like some of the previous generations wanted to be married by 23. They wanted to have kids by 24. They wanted to have their career by 25. Now we're seeing those numbers start to, you know, to fall back. You're getting married later. You're having kids later, if at all. And then your career is kind of fluid. Like, oh, I don't really need a career right now. I want to see the world. Are we using that to our advantage of knowing that audience a little bit more? And one of the things I put up here is theology of the body for two reasons. Well, they're not getting married and they're not having kids. I think we need to do a better job of teaching theology of the body and the importance of it, the beauty of it, how we're all made in the image of likeness of God. But similarly, when we think about theology of the body, sometimes that's like code in the young adult circuit for dating. Like, if you want to date and you want to find a good Catholic man, come to a theology of the body conversation because they're going to be there looking for you. And then it's also code then for those people who are not interested in commitment, who are not looking to get married. Oh, I don't belong here. So one of the things is with, you know, young adult ministry, it's synonymous with theology of the body. Well, sometimes we need to make sure we're communicating that, you know, it's okay to be single and to stay single and to not look for a wife, not look for vocations, just kind of search for Christ. And if we keep them focused on that search for Christ, they're going to be, you know, they're going to feel like they belong. Now, I also talk about, because of their lack of commitments, they're assessing their priorities. Do we help them journey with that? As they're trying to figure out what is a priority to them, do we sometimes find ourselves only talking to millennials like as if they've got their life together, that they know who they are, they know where they're going, they know what their life is about? Well, they don't. They don't. So as we communicate with our millennials, are we able to be mindful of that? That they don't have their life together, they don't know where they're going, and they're not necessarily fully searching it. How can we help our millennials to be at peace with that? That our events aren't only going to be for married couples, aren't only going to be for singles, aren't only going to be professionals. It's going to be for those people who are just on a journey and open to a journey. Now, the last thing about millennials that I feel very important to share with you all is that they seek adventure. They love to travel. And in fact, one of the sites that I was looking at for our research, they said that before marriage, before career, before kids, before financial security, the number one thing most important to millennials is seeing the world. Seeing the world. Do we allow our parishes, our schools, our communities to provide these millennials with an opportunity to see the world? Now, that might be big adventures such as going to World Youth Day. We're bringing 125 people to Portugal this summer. It's going to be beautiful. They're going to enter into that. A lot of them are millennials, entering into that idea of seeing the world, seeing that adventure. But Orlando and Our Lady Queen of the Universe is right around the corner too, and that's an adventure. Do we find ways to invite our millennials into that kind of an adventure, to see some of the churches? Do we invite them into those opportunities? They're willing to spend money if it's good, but how do we allow them into it? How do we excite them? How do we get them to know that we want them to see the world? Now, I want to switch gears a little bit to our Gen Z, just in interest of time. Here's a great one to start off with. Gen Z doesn't trust big companies. They don't trust the government. They don't trust large organizations. And I hate to break it to you, the Catholic Church is a large organization. Yep. They watch, and they're dissatisfied. The government doesn't do enough. The church doesn't do enough. This company doesn't do enough. And so they watch, and they judge. Now, COVID, we let our kids down with COVID. And a lot of people, we're not getting into politics, a lot of people blame the government for manipulating some of the facts, some of the details. And our young people watch that, and they don't trust. They're watching our politicians. You know, I gave a talk a couple years ago. Actually, it was right like the week before the elections. And I'm giving this talk, and you could just see all these people nodding their heads. And I went, ladies and gentlemen, I can't wait to vote for Joe Biden next week. And everybody just grabbed the table, and they're like, he just lost all credibility. And I said, relax, I voted for Donald. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. And then the other half of the room grabbed the table. There's no right and there's no wrong in this with these young people. And the Gen Zs are catching that. They're catching that if you like a politician or you like, you know, even now we're starting to see some of this polarization with our bishops and our cardinals, even some of our priests. Oh, you like Father James Martin? Well, that means you must not like Father Frank Pavone or Frank Pavone at this point. You know, all of a sudden there's such a polarization with everything that our young people are watching it, and it makes them not want to be as excited to get involved, because what liking one thing automatically in this generation means you have to hate the other. So how do we help our young people to navigate that? We need to find ways to be transparent. We need to find ways to be vulnerable. We need to find ways to allow our young people to enter into that vulnerability with us. And I love this. I didn't know the chancellor was going to be here. But we have to courageously live the gospel.
Smart.
Smart, yeah. How do we help our young people to courageously live the gospel without any fear of those repercussions of liking one thing at the expense of, you know, somebody then automatically saying, well, then you must hate this. Gen Z loves to embrace different cultures and viewpoints. They love diversity. Do we give them an access point to being diverse? Do we allow that? They desire for individuality. So while they want to be in culture with people from different walks of life, they themselves want to stand out and say, look at me, I'm an individual. When I was in high school, if you didn't have Nikes, you were made fun of. So I was made fun of quite a bit. Now, if you have Nikes, people are going to make fun of you because you're just one of them. You're one of the corporate America. Like, they're always seeking that desire for individuality. So my question is, how do we celebrate those gifts of being an individual? How do we help our Gen Z to enter into that excitement, to share what makes them them? We talk about time, talent, and treasure. Do we really allow our young people to share, since they don't have treasure yet, do we really allow them to share their talents? What makes them them? What makes them special? What makes them unique? And if we're able to find ways to communicate that, we are telling them that you belong here. You belong with our church. That's a great communication. We see you. We know you. We value you. And we're going to use you. All for the glory of God, not for the glory of self, the glory of God. Now, this Gen Z culture is very aware of cancel culture. You make one small mistake and you are done. And one of the things that I put up here is rabbit holes. We want to be very mindful as we are doing things, we're sharing things, that when we put something out on social media, we put something on our website, you know, there was, was it the USCCB or the National Federation of Catholic Youth Ministry? Somebody was able to go from their website and make 6 clicks, and they ended up on a Planned Parenthood website. So, of course, what do people say? Oh, well, they support Planned Parenthood. No, they just found a way to navigate all the different links. But we have to be very careful of that. We have to be very careful of that. You know, I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm a big Eagles fan. I shared something on my personal story the other day. I was really excited for it. People celebrating. They had the Eagles fight song. I have no idea whose page I shared it on, like who made the original post. And if somebody were to watch that and track and follow who they like and who they support, God knows what kind of rabbit hole I could be walking down. We have to be very careful when we're doing stuff with our ministry, because people will find it, they'll follow it, and we open ourselves up for all kinds of issue. Now, the last thing I have here, I believe this is my last slide, they are digital natives. Like, they are truly the first generation to be born in an all-technology world. They've got phones everywhere. They've got smart TVs. They've got everything that they need. But what's happening, and I connected these two, is they are struggling very much with mental health issues. They are struggling very much with mental health, and I don't think we're talking about it enough. We're talking about it a little bit, not enough. You know, even yesterday, I was in a meeting, and someone said, oh, well, what's your WhatsApp account, or I want to connect you on WhatsApp, and I said, I don't do WhatsApp. And he said, well, why don't you do WhatsApp? I said, because I've got 4 Instagram accounts where people are DMing me all the time. I've got a Facebook account. I've got text messaging. I've got, you know, this and I've got that. It's just one more thing. Like, if people need me, they should find me on one platform. But they can get me so many different ways. I said, it gives me anxiety. I still added this, the WhatsApp. That's okay. But that's what happens with our young people, is they never have moments of being alone or never being non-reachable. And I think that's part of what's building into their anxiety. You know, I'm sorry, I do want to keep this short, but I was also thinking on my drive over, I was having a good little chuckle. You know, sometimes when you're growing up in my generation, you know, kids would bully you, they say stupid things, and then you would go home and you were safe. There was one time that I think somebody tried to bully me when I was at home. And he called, and it was right after school, and I was out doing something, so a couple hours later I got home and my mom's like, oh, Travis called. I'm like, Travis called? That's not good. And he didn't leave a phone number, but we had caller ID, so I called Travis back, and he was very uncomfortable. He goes, oh, I just forgot the homework. What was it? And I think what happened was Travis was at home after school with some friends, and he wanted to bully somebody, so he and his friends thought it would have been funny to call me. Joke backfired. So when I called him 3 hours later, the joke was done. Nowadays with kids, that message will be waiting for him. and it's going to be waiting for them, and people are going to watch it, and people are going to be followed up. And that gives these kids a sense of anxiety that they can't make a wrong move. How do we use that as we communicate with them? How do we understand where they're coming from so that we don't add to that stress and that anxiety? Three things. Last thing, how we communicate with them. Do you think that kids get more information about life and about products and about information from YouTube ads or from their parents?
YouTube.
Their parents. Their parents are still the prime audience, the prime leaders of how they get their opinions and how they shape their lives. So before we give up on the older generation saying now it's focused solely on Gen Z, we have to remember we need to still use our parents to help communicate with their kids. We still have to build relationships with their parents. We still need to help their parents to know the importance of faith and inclusion, because they're going to pass it on to their kids. And the other thing is, you're probably looking for great information on how we can use phones to our advantage. The truth is this: our young people are also going to respond without us using our phones. And the reason that what I want to share with you is, we're competing, we're fighting for any bit of recognition when we're on a phone, we're on a social media, because they've got the whole world literally yelling at them. Well, we've got a monopoly on other ways. When we see a kid at church and we genuinely ask them, how are you doing? That's something that people aren't doing. We've got the monopoly on that. The other thing, mail. This is going to sound ridiculous, but this is how I want to end it. One of the highlights of the day is when our mailman comes and gives us the mail, and all we get are bills and circulars. My kids get excited if, God forbid, you know, the Lego magazine comes, and it's, you know, like, it's just, it's excitement, and they read it front to back. My mom sent a card yesterday. Those kids relished that card. What happens if we start sending birthday cards to all of the young people in our parish? We've got a monopoly. The Archdiocese of Atlanta a couple years ago put out a magazine to all confirmandi, and they laughed at the Archbishop when he suggested it. And he said, kids aren't getting mail. Let's see what happens. And the studies found that those kids, all confirmandi in the Archdiocese, read it cover to cover. The Archdiocese had a monopoly on the kids and the communication with them. If it was an email, it would have been deleted. If it was a social media post, it would have been swiped. They got something in the mail, and they read it cover to cover. We want to reclaim our communication with our Gen Z. Let's find alternate ways to communicate. And in doing so, we're going to do an amazing job of finding ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.